The Envy of Singapore. Investors poured $1 billion into Ong Ye Chu's nickel trading company. He's now accused of taking the money and skipping the nickel. By Matthew Campbell and Chanyaporn Chanjaroen. Not long after the novel coronavirus arrived in Singapore, forcing the hyperconnected city-state to shut its borders for the first time, a rumor circulated among its many wealthy people, and among others who weren't so well off. A little-known investment manager was apparently delivering an astonishing 15% quarterly profit to anyone who invested with him by trading nickel. As word spread, more and more Singaporeans clamored to give their money to the investment manager, a 34-year-old ex-accountant named Ong Ye Chu. Soon, Ong's fund, Envy Group, had raised almost 1.5 billion Singaporean dollars, about 1.1 billion U.S. dollars, from hundreds of clients. He certainly seemed to be making good on the hype, returning steady gains quarter after quarter and giving every appearance of great success. With a mansion in one of Asia's most expensive neighborhoods, a 126-foot yacht, and a fleet of luxury cars. Trusting Ong would prove to be catastrophic. Singapore police arrested him last February and accused him of running perhaps the largest scam, in terms of dollars lost, in the small country's history. According to police and forensic accountants appointed to examine Ong's books, the trades he claimed to be making had simply never occurred. Instead, they say, he was engaged in an elaborate fraud, transferring 475 million Singapore dollars of investors' money to himself and using it to enjoy a lifestyle that was lavish even by the standards of the setting for crazy rich Asians. Ong has yet to enter a plea in response to the 75 charges against him, and he declined to provide a comment for this story, citing ongoing police investigations. His clients included some of Singapore's most successful citizens, senior lawyers, former bank executives, and business people who should have known better than to invest in what appears in retrospect to have been a Ponzi scheme, and not a particularly sophisticated one. They weren't the only people who failed to ask enough questions. According to legal filings, Ong made more than 1,000 transfers from Envy's corporate and investor funds to bank accounts he likely controlled, misappropriating hundreds of millions of dollars before being stopped. Investment scams occur all over the world and can last far longer than Envy survived. Bernie Madoff ran a giant Ponzi scheme under the noses of investors and regulators for decades. Still, the allegations against Ong are awkward for Singapore, which is navigating a sensitive national transition. With its stable politics, relatively open borders, and respected legal system, the city is closer than ever to displacing Hong Kong as Asia's main financial center, a development that would turbocharge its already robust economy. Yet despite Singapore's orderly reputation, it's seen more than its share of high-profile scandals in recent years, including the collapse of Noble Group, a commodity trading company accused of cooking its books, and an alleged fraud at Hyflux Limited, a water utility that entered a court-mandated debt restructuring in 2018, infuriating retail investors. To some in the city, the apparent ease with which Ong operated suggests that its authorities need to keep a closer eye on the rising tide of cash that's sloshing in. I absolutely think Singapore needs to step up its enforcement and oversight of white-collar crime, says Mak Yun Tin, a professor of accounting at the National University of Singapore Business School. In the Envy case, there were many red flags indicating possible fraud, so we have to ask, where were the circuit breakers? Until a few years ago, little about Ong would have marked him as bound for the world of high finance. Soft-spoken and unfailingly polite, with a round, full face, he studied accounting at one of Singapore's public universities, then joined audit firm KPMG. One of the main clients he worked with was BHP Group, the world's largest mining company, and Ong found that he was fascinated by the metals business, with its huge liquid markets, real-world industrial needs, and 24/7 volatility. He began trading commodities on the side, and in 2015 he left KPMG to develop his interest into a full-time career. It was a fortuitous moment to start a trading company. Global commodity prices had declined by roughly half from their 2008 peak, offering the potential for huge profits to anyone with the courage and capital to ride them back up. And there were few better places to do it than Singapore. Always a busy regional hub, the city was emerging as a global financial contender, a attracting investments not only from other parts of Southeast Asia, but increasingly from India, China, and beyond. Everyone seemed to want a piece of its success. Over the next several years, billionaires including Ray Dalio and Sergey Brin would open local offices to invest their personal wealth. British vacuum cleaner tycoon James Dyson also set up one and spent a reported 74 million Singapore dollars on a five-bedroom downtown penthouse. Ung incorporated Envy Group in 2015, taking its name from a slightly cringy line KPMG used in its training sessions, that the company's goal was to be the envy of other accounting providers. He decided to focus on nickel, which was an unusual strategy for a small commodities outfit. The trade was dominated by a handful of well-connected operators, making it challenging to build a business from scratch. But Ung saw nickel as seriously undervalued, with markets failing to price in its growing utility. It's so crucial to rechargeable batteries that Tesla co-founder Elon Musk once asked suppliers to please mine more. Business was excellent, as far as anyone outside of Envy could tell. Nickel prices went on a bull run for most of the second half of the 2010s, and Ung steadily expanded his client list, sometimes with help from Veronica Shim, a successful wealth manager who was impressed enough by Ung that she invested with him herself and offered Envy's trades to her own clients. Singapore is a flashy place. On Orchard Road, the main shopping drag, chauffeur-driven Bentleys pull up outside flagship stores for the likes of Harry Winston and Dolce & Gabbana. At the waterfront Marina Bay Sands Casino, high rollers can wager millions before retiring to a 6,400-square-foot chairman's suite on the 53rd floor. But even in a city where the rich delight in showing off their success, Ung stood out. Envy operated from a luxuriously appointed office, arranged around a fully stocked bar, from which visitors might be offered a glass of 21-year-old Hibiki whiskey, a Japanese treasure that can sell for more than 200 Singapore dollars per pour. Ung liked to meet clients and colleagues at top-drawer sushi restaurants, roaring between engagements in vehicles from a fleet that included a Ferrari, a Lamborghini, and Singapore's only Pagani Huayra supercar, which he'd spent more than 7 million Singapore dollars to buy. His home life was no less luxurious. Ung and his Chinese-born wife, Coco Kai, rented a mansion near the lush botanic gardens, and he was in the process of buying two others. The pandemic hardly dented their lifestyle. In December 2020, she told Prestige, an Asian society magazine, how a team of salespeople from Italian jewelry brand Bulgari had come to their home to present a curated selection of new pieces flown in specially for her. Kai bought four. Ung did little marketing, but news of the outsized returns he was delivering to investors was spreading, discussed at birthday parties and on golf courses, or passed between yacht owners at the Sentosa Cove Marina, where Singapore's super rich keep their vessels. In turn, more and more members of the city's financial elite sought to entrust him with their money. From Peck Siok Lan, the general counsel of state investment company Temasek Holdings, came 5.6 million Singapore dollars. Arun Murthy, former global head of commodities at Standard Chartered, put in a little less than 1 million Singapore dollars. Finian Tan, one of Singapore's most prominent venture capitalists, was a major backer. He and partners invested a total of 26 million Singapore dollars. Few, if any, were perturbed by a March 2020 decision by the Monetary Authority of Singapore, the nation's main market watchdog, to place Envy on its investor alert list, which flags companies that may be wrongly perceived as being licensed or regulated by MAS, and thus appear to be safer. One Envy investor, who asked not to be identified discussing his loss, says it didn't seem like a major concern. Dozens of funds are placed on the list each year. Nor did it stop hundreds of less wealthy investors, including restaurateurs and doctors, small business owners and retirees, from giving Ung their money, swelling the total handed over to Envy to almost 1.5 billion Singapore dollars by early 2021. In a city where so many people seem to be finding ways to get rich, why shouldn't they? The tropical sun was barely over the horizon when a team of officers from the Commercial Affairs Department, the anti-fraud unit of the Singapore Police Force, arrived at Ung's mansion last February 16th. He was already up, preparing to send his daughter to school. The officers let him shower and change before taking him to gather documents from Envy's office and then to a police station. It turned out Ung had been on investigators' radar for at least several months. The MAS had received tips about Envy's operations in mid-2020 and referred the matter to the police later that year. Once Ung was in custody, officers held him for more than 2 days, questioning him at length about Envy's operations. After his release, according to people familiar with the matter, who asked to remain anonymous in order to describe private conversations, Ung told staff and investors that his detention was the result of a misunderstanding, one that might result, at most, in a slap on the wrist for Envy. Many believed him, one of the people says. Ung appeared more relaxed about the police's interest in Envy than most of his employees, giving every impression he had little to worry about. That outward calm was shattered on March 22nd, when prosecutors filed their first criminal charges against Ung, accusing him of channeling 300 million Singapore dollars of investor money to his own accounts. Subsequent legal filings pushed the alleged total to just under a half billion Singapore dollars. The charges outlined the broad strokes of what police, and later a team of court-appointed accountants from Ung's alma mater, KPMG, concluded was an audacious but simple fraud. Put simply, Envy had almost never bought any of the nickel it claimed to be trading, and the returns investors thought they were receiving were in fact drawn from new clients' deposits, a classic Ponzi structure. Indeed, Poseidon Nickel, the Australian mining concern that Ung told investors he was sourcing the metal from, informed KPMG auditors that it had no business relationship with Envy and had never entered any transaction with it. When they looked over Envy's purported contracts with Poseidon, the accountants, led by Bob Yap, one of Singapore's best-known restructuring specialists, noticed what they dryly described in an update for the court as numerous irregularities in the documents. For one thing, the name of a director whose signature appeared on two contracts on behalf of the Australian company did not appear to match the initials or names of any of Poseidon's directors in the relevant period. Meanwhile, according to the auditors, investor money was being moved in tranches of 200,000 Singapore dollars to accounts likely controlled by Ung, sometimes in dozens of wire transfers per day. Two of Singapore's major banks, Overseas Chinese Banking Corp and United Overseas Bank Limited, were concerned enough by Ung's activities to close his accounts well before his arrest. Other lenders, including DBS Group Holdings and HSBC Holdings, filed suspicious transaction reports with the authorities but continued doing business with him. DBS and HSBC declined to comment on Ung's accounts. Spokespeople for both lenders said that they have comprehensive systems for flagging suspicious transactions and cooperate fully with law enforcement. An MAS spokesperson said in a statement that the agency expects banks to implement robust measures to monitor for suspicious transactions and would take action against firms that fell short of regulatory requirements. As they dug further, investigators concluded that everything about the nickel deals had been faked, and not especially well. In communications with investors, Envy had said it was selling cargoes to a trading operation called BNP Paribas Commodity Futures, a London-based unit of the French bank. But UK corporate records indicated that this entity had ceased operations in February 2019. Envy's records nonetheless contained 11 trading statements from after that date, documents that would have to have been forged. The investigation did find that Envy had conducted one genuine nickel deal. In July and August of 2020, the company spent 42 million Singapore dollars to buy more than 2,000 metric tons of the commodity from Rafmet, a large trading house. Ung went to a local warehouse to inspect the load, with colleagues recording a video of him looking over loads of nickel pellets. Envy sent the video to its investors, then sold the nickel right back to Rafmet. Ung is awaiting trial in somewhat more straitened conditions than he enjoyed before his arrest. Out on 4 million Singapore dollars bail, one of the largest in Singapore's history, he's swapped his mansion for a service department. After recent court hearings, he's departed not in a souped-up sports car, but an Audi sedan. He'll soon face a difficult choice. If he opts to contest the charges against him, he could remain free for years, albeit without the ability to leave Singapore, as the case winds its way through the courts. If he pleads guilty, he'll likely receive a lengthy sentence, though one that's shorter than the 20-year maximum he'd probably face if convicted at trial. The broader damage of NB's collapse is still being tallied. Several investors, who asked not to be identified in order to avoid being publicly associated with NB, say they don't expect to recover the bulk of what they lost. It's not clear how much will be raised from ongoing sales of Ung's assets, including cars, art, and jewelry. The same is true of a lawsuit filed against him by the KPMG auditors, who are seeking more than 500 million Singapore dollars in damages. Whatever the ultimate financial cost, the NB scandal will nudge along efforts to prevent fraud in Singapore as it becomes a more important global hub. Ravi Menon, managing director of the MAS, acknowledged not long before Ung's arrest that detecting financial irregularities is an area that needs to be addressed. The National Stock Exchange recently expanded its enforcement mechanisms, making it mandatory for public companies to institute whistleblower policies and giving itself the power to require a director or executive to resign. Other proposals would give regulators more tools to ensure that accounting companies comply with anti-money laundering regulations. But even the most finely tuned regulatory systems can be frustrated by a sufficiently audacious swindler, especially one that's in tune with the psychological needs of his marks. To win the confidence of so many sophisticated people, Ung appears to have grafted the timeless appeal of get-rich-quick schemes onto a more particular desire, to share in the spoils of a city rising faster than almost any other. Above all, Ung's investors trusted the individual, says Chinthal Kumarasingham, a partner at the law firm Withers Katter Wong, who advises on white-collar crime but wasn't involved in the NV case. He made a very good show of living a lifestyle that everybody aspired to. With Joyce Koh and Yulim Lee.